Well, good morning. God bless you all. And Chris, thanks for joining us here today. Chris is visiting from Ecuador. So we're blessed to have you with us, sir. Thank you. Kathy sends you all her love and thanks you very much for your prayers for her. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to begin today. Today's Sunday, September the 10th, 2023. And we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You probably know that in the scriptures in several places, God's word is compared with physical food. One of the more popular verses, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And God uses those comparisons to show us how necessary spiritual food is, as necessary as physical food. And we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians, God's word is compared with two different types of food, food we easily recognize. And it gives us some great understanding in utilizing two different kinds of food, milk and meat. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you." Paul traveled to Corinth, was there for a lengthy time, left, and then wrote this epistle. Well, he's talking about when he was there. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." The word carnal, the basic Greek word, it means flesh. And it can either refer to our physical bodies or the old flesh nature that we read about in the book of Romans, that old man nature. And context here tells us which one it would be, because it's comparing spiritual and carnal, the old nature. These were believers who were born again. They had God's gift of Holy Spirit. They were Christians, but not. They were still living according to that old man nature. And so, as such, they're called babies, babes in Christ. And then verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." You're still babies. And so Paul didn't bring milk in big bottles to them. It's figurative. It's figurative. Milk is for babies, right? And the word meat there, this is not an anti-vegan verse. Meat means solid food. Babies cannot handle solid food. They start with milk. So he said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat. You weren't able to bear it then, and you're still not able to." If you back up to chapter 2, he talks when he first got there. Chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And that would be better translated, the mystery of God. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith or your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," or them that are mature, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery," or regarding the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And we know from the scriptures that God first revealed the mystery to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul didn't teach them about the mystery. They weren't mature enough to handle the meat of the word, the solid food. Now, obviously, a person could hear some great truths about the mystery, right? But if you're not mature, you won't understand the greatness of the mystery, and that lack of understanding limits your spiritual walk with God. In this same book, 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, lots of reproof in 1 Corinthians, trying to help them to get past the baby stage, trying to help them to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. And towards the end of this discussion of spiritual matters, which is in chapters 12, 13, and 14, towards the end of that, in verse 20, in 1 Corinthians 14, 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, in evil, be children, but in understanding be men," or women. In other words, grow up. Don't be babies. Don't stay a baby, but to grow up. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children." That's God's hope for us, his desire for us, is that we grow up. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Tossed to and fro, that's not literally, but it means mentally, like little children are mentally tossed to and fro, right? They concentrate on something. They don't, "No, we're over here, huh? Over here, they're over here, they're over there." That's like all over the place, right? That's what a child does. So this verse is talking about that we not stay as babies or a child, because in doing that, we are very susceptible to being deceived by wrong doctrine. It's what that verse is saying. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." And if a person ever gets to the point of, "Well, I know enough of God's word, I'll never get deceived by anything," take a step back. Take a step. God wouldn't give us warnings in his word if you as a believer could arrive at a point where you're immune to any kind of deception, tricks, or whatever. God just says grow up and keep growing. Grow in our understanding. So back in 1 Corinthians 3, the milk or the meat? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" You're just living that old man nature. Part of what they were doing with the old nature, as you read in Corinthians, they were being divisive in terms of, "I like Paul. I love the way Paul teaches." "No, I like Apollos, okay? Paul's okay, but man, Apollos, he's something." "Oh, no, I like Peter. Oh, that great fisherman. Stop it." You know, Paul said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We're just ministers. We're serving you God's word. So they had a lot of problems there in Corinth, and Paul is reproving them that they are babies and that they should not stay as babies. But you know what's interesting? He's still feeding them, right? Still feeding them. So as those who are maturing, we don't look down on our brothers and sisters who aren't maturing as fast as we think they should be. We're still loving. We still set an example so others can follow that. Now let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 5. If you thought that reproof was a bit stinging, let's check Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In chapter 5, it's talking about Jesus Christ and the high priest, a number of these things. But when you get to verse 11, it says, of whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. It's hard to talk about him, seeing you are dull of hearing. There were more things pertaining to Jesus Christ he wanted to share, but they were not mature enough to handle it because they had become dull of hearing. He goes on, verse 12. For when the time, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the first basics of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Isn't that something? That's some pretty blunt reproof, I would say. They needed to be taught again. They needed to get back to the basics regarding Jesus Christ. And according to that verse, at this point, they should have been at the level of being able to teach others. So what does that indicate? Well, that very clearly indicates they lost their maturity, their spiritual maturity. They lost what they should have had and what they had before, because it says you become. Is that what it says? You have become such as need milk. These aren't brand new babies. These aren't brand new people that just got born again and they're having a problem just hanging on to the old man nature and all. These are people that have been around a while. This also shows us that spiritual maturity is not something that we arrive at and it's fixed. It never moves. I've made it. Have you? I've made it. That shows us that, right? Which means it doesn't matter how long you've been around. It doesn't matter how many times you've read the Bible, how many verses you've memorized. They had become such that needed milk, the basics, not strong meat. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe, he's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What a great verse that is. In Reverend Cummins' working translation, he has verse 14 as this. However, solid food is for the mature ones who, because of practice or habits, have their faculties trained to discern both good and evil. We'll look at this again in a second, but take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God would have us to be mature believers. God would have us be those that can handle the strong meat of the word, because the strong meat of the word, when we understand that and apply it, our spiritual walk with God definitely increases. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, if you don't keep growing in God's word, if you stay in the baby stage, how are you going to be able to, like we read in Hebrews, discern between good and evil, right and wrong? How, if you don't keep growing, how are you going to avoid what we read in Ephesians, being carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive? How are you? How can you cast down thoughts that are not right? You know, last week, we didn't read this verse last week, but when we were talking about the renewed mind, that it's a continuous process day by day. We put off the old, we put on the new. Put off the old, put on the new. We're not to be conformed or fashioned to this age. And God's word's telling us to not be mentally tossed to and fro. Don't be children. Grow up. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll look at that verse in Hebrews again. But 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today, in our day and time, there's a lot of emphasis on nutritional food, right? Eat healthy. Everybody's trying to eat healthy. And it's a good thing. It's wise to try to eat healthy. You know, if you ate donuts all day long, every day. Here's a question, though. But to live physically, do we eat just once? One meal. And now you're set. You don't need to eat anymore. You've gotten your food. Well, of course not. It's silly, I know. But Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And God's word is many times compared to physical food. And as I said earlier, God did that to show us that spiritual food is just as necessary as physical food. So we don't eat just once, right? Of course not. So according to Jesus Christ, we need spiritual food. And from what we're seeing in God's word, God would have us to get out of the milk stage. Can you imagine? You know, we have this wonderful fellowship here, and then afterwards we're going to have some snacks. And Margie has laid out a bunch of milk bottles for all of us with a little nipple on it, because we're still on the milk stage. If someone... You know, sometimes people are ill and no solid food for a while. They go back till they get their strength back, till we get back to regular food. In 1 Timothy 4, it says in verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the right way of believing. Why would they depart? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh my goodness. See, that's being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God doesn't want us to be deceived. Eve was deceived. God doesn't want us to be deceived. And so, not growing up, staying in the baby stage, we are susceptible to being tossed to and fro. We're susceptible to taking heed to wrong doctrines and moving away from the right way of believing. Back to Hebrews 5. Let's just look at this one more time. Hebrews chapter 5. And then we'll close out in 2 Peter. Hebrews 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And again from the Working Translation, however, solid food is for the mature ones, who because of practice or habits have their faculties trained to discern both good and evil. 2 Peter chapter 1. God had Peter write this epistle shortly before he died. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I know you know these things, but I am just not going to stop reminding you of these things. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Long as I live, long as I got breath, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things, even though you know them. You know, sometimes people are like, I want to hear something new. You know, give me some. I remember a wonderful man of God responsible for a number of people. And after a certain period of time, they said, "Yeah, we've heard all that stuff before. Why don't you teach us something new?" And then he pointed out to them that they really didn't know the basics. Kind of like Hebrews 5. So, verse 13 again. "Yea, I think it is meet, or right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." That was his goal. That after he died, they would still remember those things because he continued to diligently teach them God's word. So even if you've heard it and know it, keep growing. We keep growing. We stay solid in the basics. And so, you know, that's why we make the time to read our Bibles on a regular basis. That's why we take time to personally study God's word. We make the time for that. That's why we get together for meetings like this, for spiritual nurture and growth. That's why we take classes and repeat classes. I don't need to repeat it. I've had it already. Well, what did Peter say? "I'm just going to keep telling it to you over and over. I know you heard it." So we stay strong in the basics so that we can continue to mature to be able to handle the meat of the word. That's really what I'm sharing this morning. So we stay spiritually sharp. And those people that we read about in Hebrews, they had been around. They should have been at the point of being teachers of God's word. But they weren't. They had become. They had lost a notch there. They had become those that need milk. So, like the Corinthian believers. They're still on the bottle, but Paul's like, "All right, I'm good." And then you read the whole book of Corinthians, and it's like reproof, 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 trying to get them to put away junk of the old man nature so that they could grow spiritually, mature, and walk with all the greatness that God's given us. There are rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as born-again Christians that don't know can't take advantage of. Or that don't grow can't get to the point of manifesting the greatness of what God has given every single believer. So God's exhortation is grow. Keep growing. We're going to close in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." So here at the end of his life, God had Peter write about what Paul wrote, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Peter is saying, God is having Peter to say this, there are people that are had a problem with things Paul was teaching, and God's saying, yeah, they got a problem with the rest of the Word of God too. As in verse 16, "as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Be aware. Be sharp. Don't become such as need milk. Stay mature. Keep your head solid in the truth of God's word. Stay solid in the basics. Grow. That's the next verse. But grow. Verse 17, he said to beware, and now grow. Verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How do we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? We have a Bible. And we have the seven church epistles that Paul wrote that really, that's why I said start with the epistles when you were asking me that question. The seven church epistles are written for born-again ones so that we can find out who we are, what we have, what God's done for us, find out our rights, privileges, and abilities, and we can put that on, put the old man off. The new man is righteous before God. Well, I'm not right. The new man is righteous. I am righteous before God. I'm holy. I'm beloved. I have all spiritual blessings. God has given me eternal life. He's forgiven me all of my sins. I can manifest his gift of Holy Spirit. And on and on and on. Staying solid in that. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The stronger we stay in the basics, the more of the meat we will be able to understand, which will benefit us greatly in our spiritual walks with God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your wonderful word, your scriptures that you had written for us, so that we need not to be ignorant. Thank you for all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And that, Father, we could read about that, believe it, live it. That we could do as your word says, we could study to show ourselves approved unto you as workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing this wonderful word of truth. Thank you as we continue to grow, Father, that we mature, and that as we mature, we're able to help others, we're able to teach others, we're able to be examples to others, and that, Father, we can enjoy our walk with you as we wait for your wonderful Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.